KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 9:02. Researchers looking into what is making seals in seas off the coast of Alaska and Chukotka sick. They're still in the process of ruling out the radionuclides dispersed from the Fukushima nuclear accident. While a qualitative screening was done early on that told researchers that the diseased seals in Alaska were not carrying large loads of radionuclides, it's not enough to rule radiation out. Rafaela Stimmelmeyer, the on-site coordinator for the Alaska Unusual Mortality Event, says they are now looking at whether the diseased seals carried cesium-134 and 137. Cesium-137 is and has been present in the environment throughout the world from nuclear testing done in the 1960s and 70s. Cesium-134 is the signature radionuclide that was released during the Fukushima accident last year.
We do not think at this point that it is, related to that. But I think one truly has to wait until we have the quantitative numbers to be able to say, no, there is no trace in these animals. And then we confidently can say there is no relationship.
Cesium-134 from Fukushima is expected to be present for approximately 2 years.
So right now, if you measure both of them and you look at the ratio, you can actually trace the origin of those radionuclides.
Stimmelmeyer says they have baseline data with background levels of radiation that today's tests can be compared to. And in the work to pinpoint what caused the unusual mortality event in ice seals in Alaska, Stimmelmeyer thanks the coastal communities and the hunters for working closely with the investigative team.
Keeping us abreast of the cases and, proposing hypotheses what it could be and just making this, a successful investigation into what is, affecting this very important subsistence resource.
She said without the hunters, they would not have the good information they do have regarding what is going on in the field. The Environmental Response Management Application, or IRMA, is a tool that NOAA scientists use to generate maps for responders to oil spills or pollution releases. Originally developed for the Gulf of Mexico, NOAA has now brought IRMA to the Arctic. Amy Merton is the Spatial Data Branch Chief in NOAA's Office of Response and Restoration. They provide support in the event of an oil spill and help with restoration efforts afterward. She says the IRMA web tool aggregates information from multiple sources in order to give responders a data-rich map of local geography, assets, infrastructure, and other concerns.
It's a living website, and we continue to improve it as we go on.
The IRMA site helps plan for oil spills, but Merton says putting diverse data sets into one map also helps reveal gaps. One of those gaps IRMA is trying to fill is local knowledge of cultural and subsistence resources.
I think that information will be critical if there is a spill, and I think having local members involved in spill planning and spill response is going to be critical. It's definitely one of those things that's a high priority for me as we move forward in collecting data for Arctic IRMA.
Zach Stevenson is the subsistence mapping coordinator with the Northwest Arctic Bureau. He's collecting reports from and documenting subsistence in several coastal communities in the Bureau to create an atlas of traditional knowledge that can be used in policy and development decisions. He's working to include that atlas in the Arctic IRMA tool.
Residents here in the Northwest Arctic Bureau have been unified in their message that the protection of local and traditional knowledge, what I would describe as cultural intellectual property rights, is critically important, particularly how the information is used and who uses it and for what purposes. The issue here with IRMA is that we see tremendous value in this tool, particularly in light of some of the changes that are affecting our region.
Stevenson says the Arctic IRMA is important not just because of potential drilling in the Chukchi and Beaufort Seas. As more traffic passes through the Bering Strait, IRMA and other tools will be needed in the event of accidents.
Regardless of whether or not oil development in the Beaufort and Chukchi proceeds, right now, today, we have the world's largest oil tankers passing from the Kara Sea in Russia through the Bering Straits headed to China. And in the event that one of those vessels were to run aground or run into an accident, all the more need for having a well-developed response plan. And I fully believe that that tool needs to include traditional knowledge because it's some of the best information out there that could help to protect our people.
In May, the IRMA tool was used by NOAA, the U.S. Coast Guard, and other federal agencies during an oil spill drill with Shell. Merton says some of the data used in IRMA comes from oil companies like Shell, but while some may question the reliability of that data, Merton says it's often the only data available.
Sometimes the oil companies have the only data set for, you know, some activities. So we have that information, we know the source of it, but we augment that with information from the National Marine Fisheries Service, for example, or from the state agencies or from other government agencies.
While new information is routinely being added to the IRMA tool, Merton says for now the Arctic IRMA is online and ready to use and will likely be part of more drills with Shell this summer. The U.S. House passed a bill yesterday to fund the Marine Debris Program, the federal entity that will coordinate the tsunami cleanup as trash washes ashore. APRN's Peter Granitz reports the bill is stalled in the Senate. The Marine Debris Program has enjoyed bipartisan support since Senators Ted Stevens and Daniel Inouye initially introduced it. The House quickly passed a reauthorization Wednesday night. In fact, there was so much support it passed by a voice vote, meaning the entire House did not vote on it, just the handful in the chamber. The House bill would spend nearly $5 million per year on the Marine Debris Program, while the Senate plan would double that. It would also add specific language about tsunami debris. That means the two bills will have to be reconciled with one another. Senator Mark Begich says that should not be a problem.
People understand you have this kind of, it sounds odd, but to say normal debris, you know, that we've been dealing with for years, and then these catastrophic situations that occur, I think people recognize those bring in a different kind of requirement of coordination between the different agencies and so forth in a very fast way.
Senator Lisa Murkowski is urging for a working group of federal agencies. She says last week she met with Secretary of the Interior Ken Salazar to discuss the problem.
The secretary was not aware that Alaska was seeing marine debris coming to its shore and wasn't certain what was going on with the agencies.
Senator Murkowski says that working groups in Washington don't tend to move quickly, but the agencies need to know what one another is doing. She adds that both the federal government and state will have to pitch in, both in manpower and financially. The executive branch of the federal government, the Department of Interior, and others could grant more money, but Senator Murkowski says a congressional reauthorization for the Marine Debris Program is the best first step to getting more money. A look at the price of gold, down $14.10 an ounce to $1,587. An ounce of silver is down 41 cents to $27.13, and a pound of zinc at 81 cents. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 landed in Nome at 9 o'clock and is expected to depart to Anchorage on time at 9:47. It's unofficially 52 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.